This is the November 22nd edition of the Closing Market Report of Friday afternoon. As usual, on the phone line, Mike Zuzulow. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Mike, has the cool weather infiltrated your area already?
Yeah, it came in last night, Todd, and I have to say our prayers and thoughts are sure with all the listeners in Indiana and Illinois from last Sunday as this cold weather comes in. We've been thinking about you a lot this week, and hope things turn around quickly and things get rebuilt very quickly as well.
We are in that same passion. Thank you, Mike, for taking the time to talk about them just a bit. It's a rough road to hoe when nature manages to pull so much out from under you so quickly.
You bet, especially coming up against Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's turn your attention to the marketplace. Why is it the soybeans rallied today?
I think there's a couple things. I think you probably had a market that had seen the technicals hold earlier in the week and had seen something close to a 1.4 million metric ton export sale number yesterday morning and probably scratching their heads wondering where are the South American bushels and where's the South American supply to take off the pressure from us drawing down our supply so much. I think between that and the rebound in the meal market, especially Dease meal was the big winner today, Todd, with a 4+% move higher. I wonder if that didn't have something to do with the options expiring and some big open interest numbers and options for Dease meal. And just the unwinding of spreading between it and the bean oil, and that may have been a residual of the EPA announcement as well. So I think there was multiple factors. Some minor factors that maybe played a role was that later in the week we had started to hear from Chicago talk of a possible El Nino, which means in some people's, weather people's opinion, that could drive the eastern corn belt into a hotter, drier pattern and maybe cause some problematic weather for Australia, essentially take away the perfect growing season that the trade had gotten used to here in the United States. And finally, I think the caterpillar issue in Brazil probably got a little bit more legs to it, no pun intended, but probably a little bit more fuel to the market looking at that, although some of that I think is starting to wind down from a standpoint that it looked like some of the producers in Mato Grosso were getting out in the fields and seeing that their sixth or seventh or eighth application was starting to really do an effective job of limiting the caterpillar spreading. So I think all these things wrapped up, but I think the majority of the heart and soul of this turnaround was the technicals holding and the big export demand bringing back to the trade. Maybe we should be rationing a little bit more here at these price levels.
Now on the charts, I would think things look pretty good. In the weeklies, the January soybeans were up 39. They posted an outside week up. December bean meal, you already mentioned, it was up $17.30 on the week. And bean oil, while it gained just 69 cents, posted an outside up week too. So things in the bean pit, at least, are looking pretty sharp, I guess, on the charts.
Yeah, and I think your important, your technical numbers that you just threw out are very important to the producer out there because Jan Beans did see its best close since the end of September. So now at 1322 Jan Beans and $1.35 Gulf basis here in the United States, you're at $535 a ton at our Gulf of Mexico. I would say to the producers at this point, certainly I'm saying this to the people I work with, as you go over $550 a ton, probably going to be difficult to hold on to the export demand. You probably will start to see more competition come in and those export sales start to taper off. So between 1340 and 1370, where there's that gap we talked about on Commodity Week a couple weeks ago, I think that's where you start moving the balance of 13 beans in the bin or what you have on DP or whatever, and then start looking at that 1185 level in the new crop November beans to maybe start some sailing there with hedge targets between 1185 and 1225 on what I'll be talking about, especially as I get into the seminar winter marketing meetings rolling here in the next week or so.
Hey, speaking of those, you do have those scheduled. Let's see, you're in Jacksonville. You're here in Monticello. When's that?
That's going to be 6 p.m. in Monticello. They're right off I-72 at the Best Western, and a complimentary meal will be served there in Jacksonville. And Jacksonville's on the 3rd at noon, and then Lafayette is on the 2nd at 10 a.m. local time. And I think, you know, it's going to be a neat seminar because I have not delved a lot into the livestock markets and the meat markets for probably ever since I was doing livestock analysis back at Utterbacks a long, long time ago. But this is going to be a very meat-intensive seminar because meat is the fuel for the demand market, in my opinion, heading into 2014. Mm-hmm. And so if you're a livestock producer, may want to attend that meeting as well. It's not just going to be all about grains.
Yeah, I just finished up, in fact, producing my weekly Illini Farm Report, which is what I do for the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences, and several stories from Purdue Extension Ag economist Chris Hurt, talking about the rebalancing of the marketplace with the end of the ethanol boom and the importance of the livestock sector to the marketplace and its potential growth at these lower crop price levels.
I think it, like a lot of demand markets and a lot of things that are started with demand, they kind of sneak up on you. And one of the most fascinating statistics that, you know, I'll talk about is that the global meat exports in just less than 10 years have increased over 40%, and USDA expects a record in 2014 for beef and poultry again and a near record in pork. And if the demand market and the cash-led market, much like a 1996 or a 2006 corn market, is going to materialize and that analysis is going to be correct, I think it's going to be at the heart and soul due to this increased meat consumption and the compound feeding that it takes to feed this higher, richer, more populous, richer middle class that's coming, and it's already here in the world. And this is the fascinating part about the 2014 market year, is it's not really all that bearish. It could be a very solid year for commodity prices, and I think that's one of the things that I want to introduce and put out in front of everybody to see if they can't put that and incorporate that into their marketing plan.
Well, we've talked about some solid prices for soybeans, but the corn is a much tougher sell on that end. Tell me about it for the day and the week.
Yeah, for the week, it ended up maybe 2 cents at best. Now, the one thing that we did see, Todd, was a real movement in the basis and a real movement in the spreads. And, you know, earlier this week and back during the report around the 8th and the 12th of November, we had a DEIS March spread that was running 13 cents, almost 14 cents. That has collapsed to about a nickel, nickel and a half at times today during the trade. And so you're starting to see this demand we're talking about and the strong cash demand that we've seen in both interior markets and the export markets transmit itself and translate itself into the spreads. That's something that we need to see continue and will be one of the top things to watch as we go into Thanksgiving holiday.
Okay, one more time, just because I want to know for sure. It's the December 2nd date I'm interested in. You're in Lafayette. Where and what time again?
Lafayette, we're going to be in the Holiday Inn downtown, and that's going to be at 10 a.m. local time. And then in Monticello, we're going to be at 6 p.m. Central local time at the Best Western off there, off I-72.
Both on December 2nd. Thank you so much for taking the time with us. We'll talk with you again next week.
Have a great Thanksgiving, everybody.
That is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Now, we've talked a little bit about Mike's upcoming meetings, but Mike shows up in several of our Will Ag meetings as well. You can find the whole list of those online at willag.org. There's a schedule over on the right-hand side of the page. There you'll find ways to register for some of the extension meetings that are listed there, including the Farm Doc meetings. Those come up the December 16th week. Our Outlook meetings and marketing panels beginning December 10th and 11th. That's in Mount Vernon and Sykeston. We've got January meetings. We have February meetings. And March the 4th, that's a Tuesday, is our all-day Ag Outlook, just in case you're looking ahead. It's all in our willag.org schedule, willag.org. Now here's Dave with the news.